I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Just so happens to be the Manny Fry show when Annie is out. Bunch of dudes just hanging out for another hour. And I got to say, you have another hour or so, a little bit less, to vote in the YouTube poll. And this is a good YouTube poll. So if you want to get in, if you haven't done so yet, Wiggins, what is the poll today?
Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other? And let us know.
Okay. We'll get some results of that coming up. I wanted to talk about this Elon Musk story, and we have some audio from him too, but Elon Musk is in the news for comments he made about his son that went through, some gender-reaffirming care. If we can just play Elon Musk, and we'll comment after that.
You know, I was told, Xavier might commit suicide if he
did. That was a lie right from the outset.
Incredibly evil. And I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison.
I was
tricked into doing this. It wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason. The reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. Mm-hmm. So my son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus.
This is a very serious situation some parents have to go through. The woke mind virus, the puberty blockers, and the irreversible damage that some kids go through. This is something I think a lot of people try to fight. They don't want the exploitation of children to do irreversible harm to their bodies, when so much of what we understand is that once they hit 18 and maybe get a little bit more developed, they regret the decision that they made when they were younger. And I think just human nature would indicate that when you're younger, you don't make the best decisions about yourself. But I wanted to take this topic in a different route, because the first thing I thought of when I heard this story about Elon Musk was, and this is going to sound tough, and I'm hoping that you guys could, I don't want this to be controversial, but I think it needs to be said. You're a billionaire who runs multiple companies. You're known for sleeping at your factories to keep things on track. How much of this is him being an absent father that led his family down a path where things like this happen? If he was more hands-on with his family life, could this have been prevented? Is that unfair or fair to say?
Well, it's a fair question to ask. We just don't know what his family life. I know he's got a lot of kids. I know that to be true.
Yeah.
And so, you're probably right. He does have a lot to manage. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he was there for this decision, and he regrets being a part of allowing the decision to be made. Again, at what level was he there to say yes or no? We don't know. But he feels fully manipulated by doctors who were telling him one thing and maybe telling him truths, but giving him morsels of truth that were not the full truth, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, when I think about it, to your point, Ryan, that there is no substitute for a present father in the home. There's just absolutely no substitute for that. And I can't speak to whether or not Elon Musk was present and active in his son's life or in his children's life. I don't know. I don't know where any of that is. So I think that makes your question a fair question. How present was he? But to other Ryan's point,
I'm other Ryan.
Other Ryan being mm-hmm. Wiggins.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to trust the experts. And I think this is something that I'm really, as of late, I'm really starting to lament what happened during COVID because this all stems from that. Elon Musk went into this and spoke to these therapists and to these doctors, and they said, this is what's best, and your only option is this or your kid's going to, you know, commit suicide. Those are the only two options that they gave him. And that's not true. And you hear Dr. Peterson in that interview say that's a lie out and out. And you'll hear people like Chloe Cole, who's a detransitioner, saying, I wish somebody would have spoke to me. I wish they would have just waited and taken their time. The experts in our lives, be it through gender transition surgeries, through COVID, I mean, heck, we talked ad nauseum about the FBI and the Secret Service. You're supposed to be able to trust the people that are supposed to be experts, and they've let us down. And now we've got this lack of trust in these areas. And that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up that I lament. I think we're in a lot of bad situations in our lives because the experts took advantage of the good faith that we have shown them, and they lied to us through this whole thing.
Yeah, and so this is where I've kind of I want to just say this as delicate as possible because I understand that there are people that are very hands-on with their children, and this sort of thing still is a conflict inside the family. So it has nothing to do with being absent for some families. But I think about some of these statistics you look at of what happens when there's a father absent from the house. And sometimes you can look at socioeconomical issues where it's a poor family, so they make different decisions based on what a rich family makes. So in this case, the money is not a problem here, right? Obviously, he's one of the richest people on the planet. I think part of being a parent is trying to guide your kids away from, and I'll use the term Elon Musk uses, the woke virus, the mind virus. You have to navigate your children in a world where this exists, but not allowing it to grab onto them. And part of being a active participant in your children's life is recognizing when these things are coming in because you're paying attention to your kids, who they're hanging around, what kind of media or what kind of anything that they're consuming for entertainment or sometimes for education or whatever. And then recognizing when some of these things are leaking in, you have to stop it from the source. And some parents aren't able to recognize that. Maybe some of them are overwhelmed with other situations in their lives, so things go unnoticed for longer. And then sometimes they're completely absent. And with the Elon Musk case, he is just well documented for working nonstop away from his family. It just makes me wonder how much of this is actually him not being able to pick up on these cues. And should there be a higher priority than work when you love your kids as much as Elon Musk sounds like he loves his kids? And I think that's, it could be an unfair criticism or an observation that could be coming up here because, again, this happens in families all the time and they tried to do everything they could to be hands-on. It still happens. But all things considered, if you thought something like this was happening with your family, wouldn't you make that a higher priority than work?
Yeah, I would.
I would too.
The other thing about this story is that this broke yesterday, maybe late the day before. I think it was yesterday. If he actually has been an absentee father, what you're going to hear is the kid or the mom of the kid is going to come out and do a rebuttal story, and you'll see that come out, which I'm surprised hasn't happened yet. But if he actually is there, you know, you could see a rebuttal from the kid anyway. When he went through the process. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see that if they have any sort of problem with what Elon Musk said of one of the people in his life coming out and saying so.
The language he's using, you know, I lost a son, right? He's dead. And that's what he explains when it comes. And I'm so glad, Brad, that you included that as part of the clip because that has taken so much out of context in all the stories that are written about this, where he very clearly says once they go through this transition, it's called dead naming for a reason. The person that was before is completely gone. And you know, he opens up to, it was a Jordan Peterson he was doing the interview with.
Yeah.
Is that, Jordan Peterson, would he be a psychologist? What would his most training be on? I know he's a professor in Canada. Psychology is a big thing for him. And he's a very smart person, like super smart person. He gets criticized for how fast he speaks and his ability to comprehend complex things very quickly and then being able to analyze and then rebuttal very quickly for things that I'm sure he's never even thought of before. He's very good at that. But this is something he's been paying attention to for a long time. And what we've seen, I think, in trends, not only in America, but across the world, and Canada is probably even worse than America, is that even if you question these sort of things, then you are akin to creating a crime, right? You're saying that even if by questioning or discussing some of these things, that you're committing an act of violence against that person. And that's how far we've gone. We can't even get to the point in some places questioning things without it escalating to a government power intervening in either preventing you or maybe punishing you for bringing these sort of things up. And in Canada's sake, you know, Jordan Peterson was very active about this compelled speech, meaning that if you have to, you know, force for the government, you have to say certain things a certain way or you will be punished, fined, mm-hmm. or jailed. That's where we continue to move, unfortunately. And that's why things like this need to stop. I think a lot of times, 2016, people thought, hey, if Donald Trump gets in office, this sort of junk is going to end. It didn't end. In fact, it just continued to get worse. I have no idea what to do to stop it from ending, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's powerful in Canada. I mean, you're right. We can go back to talking about the trucker protest. You know, these people were protesting COVID restrictions, and they had their bank accounts shut down. Mm-hmm. You don't have a First Amendment in Canada.
Not just their bank accounts, but anybody that supported them.
Yeah, that's right, if you were in the country. But to your point, we've been manipulated on this subject, not to get too far away from the subject of transgenderism, and among kids especially, because that's really where the fight is right now. Because nobody's saying you can't do this if you're an adult. You can. Mm. We can talk through it. I mean, I would love to talk through these things with a friend of mine who was going through them, but I don't, it's the social issue is the kids and sports. Mm-hmm. That's the two areas. And we've all been manipulated on this. You think about the way they've manipulated language even mm-hmm. on this topic. If you were going to change the genitalia of a person, you would call that gender reassignment.
Mm-hmm.
They have now flipped that to where you have to call that gender affirmation. Mm. It's literally the exact opposite of what it is. You're changing someone's gender, and you have to call it gender-affirming surgery.
Well, and the other side of that is, too, when you talk about the language, when you talk about things like pronouns and using the correct pronouns, you don't use third-person pronouns when you're talking to the individual that you're talking to. You use second person, or you say their name. So when they say use my pronouns, the she, the her, the they, the them, the ze, the zers, the all the different pronouns that are out there, they want to control how you speak to other people, not to them. You're not being respectful or disrespectful to them because they're not present whenever you're having this conversation. That's one of the things that really bothers me. Is like, stay out of my language. You don't get to tell me what I can and can't say.
And going back to part of this too, when there's a disagreement in this, you went back and you mentioned just how wrong some of these doctors are, and you can give a lot of examples in parallels to COVID. But when you also look at how they say reaffirming, meaning that we have to allow the kid to make these changes that'll alter their bodies permanently, that you want to shift some of the authority of that decision making onto a person that's not a member of that family, let it be a teacher or a politician or whatever it is, you find that they make these sort of decisions to say it's the only humane thing to do because otherwise they may commit suicide. I'm glad that Elon Musk brought that part of it up because this is why you fight these things in schools. Mm-hmm. This is why you say that, you know, teachers have no business in this equation. And for example, if it does happen, then the parent needs to be immediately notified and brought into that conversation. It shouldn't be subverted into a teacher or an administrator or a guidance counselor making these sort of decisions, encouraging the kid along the path that you know is that woke virus in the mind. These are all things that we are fighting against right now, and there are real consequences. And I think an interview like this is, you hate to hear that. And this is why I go back and forth. I think, okay, could he have cut this off from the beginning, removed him from this so the virus didn't take over the mind.
Right. Yeah, I think we lost you there for a second, Ryan. But I think just to conclude your point. Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I apologize. Sometimes that happens where this system cuts. But just in general, it's so hard to tell the direction that we're going. It's also so hard to tell. I completely forgot where I was. What I said when I cut off there. But all things considered,
I think you were going to say that you don't like CrowdStrike.
This is part of it. You think that could be it?
That's it.
I might as well blame everything else.
I think you were getting into the how much of this was Elon Musk, you know, being absent, and how much of this is outside of that.
Yeah, and it's so hard to tell what the combination of it is. But I think in general, what's the old phrase? Nip it in the bud as soon as you can before that woke virus takes over. All right. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins, you've been looking at polls. Is that right?
Deep dive? I have been. I've even been during the show because a couple new ones have come out even since we've been talking. So I'll try to update you. But you have some really interesting stuff about the polls that are making headlines right now that are supposed to be so good for Kamala. Little bit of a spoiler. They're not.
Oh, okay, good. All right. We need this because some of the polls I'm seeing is they're next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Neck. Well, okay, let's get the truth of this and what's going on. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Annie Price Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. Still some time to go and vote in that latest YouTube poll. Very easy. Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other? What may it be? Go vote now. We'll have the results coming up here within the half hour or so from now. All right, Ryan Wiggins, you've been looking at the polling very closely, and it's important to note that what you see may be different than some of the headlines you see on these major news websites.
This is why it's so important to be able to dive into polls to find out how they're doing them, and not just how, but really, most importantly, who are they polling and how are they weighting the poll? Because you can do a lot with a couple little numbers there, and that is easy to overlook unless you dive into the crosstabs, which I was doing all morning and actually have been doing a little bit during the show because a new one dropped. But the big one that made all the headlines is the Reuters Ipsos poll that is the first, and they were saying this, and it was true, the first poll released since Kamala Harris became the candidate for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Has Harris up by 2. And if you've been watching all the polling, Trump's been up in all of, and this is a national poll, okay? So this isn't a state poll, which is really what matters. But these national polls, they kind of give you a gauge on the way people are feeling. And all of a sudden, Harris declares her candidacy and she's up by 2. It's the only one we've seen with a Democrat up. It's got to be that Kamala Harris has changed the game.
It's the Kamala Harris poll? Is that what you said it was?
No, it's the Reuters poll.
Reuters poll, okay.
Reuters Ipsos. So I thought, wow, that's interesting. I would have expected there might have been a little bit of bump, just excitement bump that they got. So I dove into this poll and was looking at the results and why did Kamala Harris seem to jump up from her previous Reuters poll, because they were asking this question. They've been asking the question about Harris for a while now. Ever since the debate, it became a good poll question because, hey, maybe it's not Joe Biden anymore. And here we are. So here's what's flawed about this poll that is making national news, it was yesterday, even this morning, was the Reuters poll has Harris up. Mm-hmm. They oversampled Democrats. So instead of it being even, you have 36% Republicans, 36% Democrats, and whatever left of independents is usually the way they do it. And they always oversample independents in these things. They just always do. Not just them, everybody. Don't know why they do it. Reuters oversampled Democrats in this poll by 6 points.
Okay.
And still only had Harris up by 2.
Okay.
Okay. So if you go, well, okay, but the most important thing is how do they compare it to previous polls that they've done on the same topic, not with Biden, but with Harris. So if you look back to the beginning of July, Reuters released one that was, okay, Trump versus Harris, who would you hypothetically vote for? Because at that time, she didn't have the nomination. Well, at that time, it was Trump plus 1. And so they're looking at these and going, oh, wow, look, she's flipped 3 points. She's gained 3 points. Well, guess what? If you look into the methodology of both of those polls from the same pollster, Reuters, mm-hmm. you find that in early July, they weighted it Democrats plus 3.
Oh, okay.
Now they weighted Democrats plus 6. Where do you think those where do you think those 3 percentage points came from? They just weighted it plus 3 more. That's it. So nothing, according to their poll, nothing has changed in this race since she declared. Isn't that amazing? That should be the headline, but it's not.
I know what Donald Trump would say. They're weighting it based on Joe Biden's handicap in golf.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, have to give her a handicap. So let's look at the numbers. When they weigh the polls a certain way, do they take that into consideration when they come out with the numbers? Or is it just, okay, we're going to take everything that we got and then punch it in and then just output? Or do they actually scale back some of the extra Democrat votes that came in?
They can weight them. And this one, like I said, they have been. And traditionally, this is true. Traditionally, yeah. You do have a little bit more of a Democrat turnout in a national election than you do Republicans. It's why you see a national popular vote win by Democrats, but a Republican could still win because of the Electoral College. Not always, but sometimes. So they do tend to weight it. But usually the good ones, they weight it by about what the margin has been in actual elections. You say, okay, if Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 2% more than Donald Trump or whatever, however you find it, then you weight that for the next poll and you say, okay, we'll have 2% more Democrat turnout. A lot of these polls, though, they start projecting and saying things like, well, we think that this is the way it's going to go. And so we think right now, amazingly, Reuters has been saying, we think that we'll have 3% more Democrats turnout than Republicans. Now, that already is a stretch.
That's a stretch.
But to move it to be 6% more Democrats will turn out in this election than Republicans, and you still only have Harris by plus 2, it's saying a lot. And since we're already on the topic, let me jump to a different one because we're talking about this Reuters one simply because it's making so much news. Mm-hmm. NPR and PBS, Marist, released one today also. And it's the second one that's come out since Harris has been the candidate. The last time they did this, it was Trump plus 1. And they have Democrats weighted by plus 3. Mm-hmm. They did the exact same thing this time. I'll give them credit for at least being consistent. And it's still Trump plus 1. Nothing's changed. So there's two polls in a row since she's declared her candidacy that if you really dig into the numbers, literally the exact same as with Joe Biden.
Do you think that looking at the polling and, of course, the complete disaster of 2016 when it came to polling credibility, do you think that having Trump down in some polls is a motivator for Republicans? Do you think this could be a good thing for them to realize that it's not a gimme that a lot of people think it's going to be?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Having motivation. Here's the thing, though. If you're not motivated to vote in this election after what you've been experiencing for 4 years, I don't know if a poll is going to move you. What you're experiencing in your real life should be moving you to the polls or to the ballot.
I, am very curious of how this one's going to play out. And I know that donor money is being spent, but think of all the money that Biden wasted on advertisements before going into this one. So what happens next? Are they going to change everything that quickly, get this back on TV? You really haven't seen too many Donald Trump ads on television. Now, keep in mind, I'm in Michigan, a battleground state, where they have been running it nonstop prior to him stepping down. You're not seeing as much. You are seeing some, but not as much. You see the super PACs or whatever come in there. And Donald Trump's a racist, you know, type of super PACs where they mention these sort of things. And then they say not affiliated with any party. I'm like, OK, whatever. I think that whatever the next blitz is going to be, it's going to be super dirty, whatever it may be. They're going to do everything they can. And this people online are already trying to push this Project 2025 even further. I'm really surprised they're going to hitch their wagon to Project 2025 as their way to get into the White House, honestly. Let's look at this, too. Did you see that one clip about Kamala Harris' brat? Do you know what that's all about?
I saw it, but I don't know what the connection is. Kamala Harris' brat. No, tell me.
I was hoping you could tell me because just it's one of those stupid internet things.
Yeah.
But I was going to try to like tie this in basically to say that so much of these strategies are so they make it look like it's organic, but it is so forced and old and stupid that I got to imagine the people that even like her are looking at it and rolling their eyes. But they look at this and they say, this is how we're going to be able to connect with the younger generation because we need the young kids to go out there and vote. Otherwise, we're not going to get Kamala Harris into the White House. So we need to do a Kamala Brad or whatever the stupid thing is as an organic strategy. And again, I love it when things like that backfire because it's just so stupid to so many people.
So the brat thing is something that I believe it's Charlie XCX, who is a pop star. Mm. It's something that she came up with and it's kind of like she made it out to be, well, actually, whenever I heard her define what it was just a bunch of nothing and word salad, but it's supposed to be an attitude, but like you just pointed out and Ryan just pointed out is like, hey, what is this deal with this Kamala brat thing? Well, if you guys don't know what it is and you guys are plugged in, nobody's going to know what it is that's really going to be a massive factor in this coming election. They want to make her hip with the young kids, but I don't know that these young kids that they're trying to make her hip with are going to be voting in significant enough numbers for this to even matter. Yeah. And it's so organic, as you pointed out. It's so organic that they
make it look like it's organic.
They had to contact Charlie XCX to get permission to use it.
I just want to see Kamala Harris be in front of a group of kids that think that's really funny and just say, back in my day, I would have thrown you all in jail for marijuana. Just, you know, back in my day, I would have had you all rounded up. But now I'm asking for your vote.
wait, I'm getting lost here. The brats thing is a pro Kamala thing?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't get this.
Yeah, it's supposed to be edgy and pro. Cool and hip.
So she's a brat, and that's supposed to be kids looking at her going, oh, she's kind of like me. I'm a brat.
She's a brat.
That's the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bold strategy, Cotton.
All the popular brats and cartoon shows geared towards children. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're basically trying to orient this towards child voters that are just turning 18.
Yeah, right.
And are coming off of a generation where they watch Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon nonstop. And, oh, I'm a brat just like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of cartoon brats. I guess there is a cartoon called Brats. That's her, just one of the girl brats, I guess.
Right. Before we get to a break, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I've been watching. I misquoted myself here because I was looking at all these numbers all day and I just want to straighten this out. When I said the NPR PBS Marist poll was even, that is not true. I screenshotted this earlier so I wouldn't forget it. And I looked back and it was, oh, no, that's right. So back in July, early July, Kamala Harris, theoretically at that point versus Donald Trump, Kamala Harris was +1.
Oh.
Since she's declared her candidacy, this poll just came out yesterday. It is now Donald Trump +1 the same poll. And then CNN just released one. This is the one where I'm really diving in even as we speak. CNN just released one that has Trump +3. And this is all since she's declared.
Oh, interesting. Well, we'll see how this one plays out. And we'll see what Joe Biden has to say about it later tonight. He's going to give his full, I'm sure, wholehearted and totally 100% his decision on why he decided to step back and then let Kamala Harris be the person running for office moving forward. I'm sure by 8 o'clock tonight, wouldn't it be great if Joe Biden went on there? He said, I'm going rogue, folks. They forced me to do this. I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
They told me I came up here and I dropped out of the race. That's not a fact, Jack. About? Not a joke.
That's not my signature.
Yeah. He actually runs up and punches the teleprompter and gets right in the face of the camera. He goes, listen, they're lying to you. Yeah.
They pop up like the technical difficulty sign.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? Okay, Joe Biden has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever tonight. Then.
Yeah, MSNBC, right. MSNBC comes back on. Well, appears we're having some problems.
He carries a look real close. I'm not dropping out. Yeah.
All right, we have one more segment coming up. Still a couple of minutes to vote in the YouTube poll. Go do that now. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Oh, please let that be the case. Please. I think if he wanted his approval rating to shoot up, he does that.
Yeah, I'd approve of him if he did that.
I would approve of that, too. I'd say yes, yes. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. The YouTube live chat poll, last chance, last call. Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality. We'll get to the results there. Real quick, there's two stories in women's sports that I wanted to mention. I know you guys are really big into women's sports, right? But this is actually kind of interesting. So the Olympics are going on. You have different representations around the world. Well, the New Zealand Olympic Committee accused the Canadian Olympic Committee of using a drone to spy on their practice. It's pretty saucy.
Nice. Yeah. It's like Deflategate.
Yeah, exactly. Except, so in New Zealand, they were practicing on the field. They noticed there was a drone up ahead. They said, hey, what's this? They found the operator. The operator was connected with the Canadian Olympic team. So they're being held. Because Man. You can't do that. That's a big scandal.
You got to tell the drone guy, stop wearing the Canadian jacket, dude.
Wear the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, wear a North Korean jacket or something.
When reached out for comment, Team Canada said, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. The other story was the WNBA All-Star Game shatters all-time viewer high. I don't care how many articles they put out about the WNBA. I'm still not watching it. I just will never care. Stop with it. It's they keep putting these out over and over and over again as if, hey, all of a sudden everyone's going to care. And, you know, that very much could be the case. People actually do enjoy it. I don't get it. It's never going to appeal to me. I'm never going to watch it. I think like we have to maybe like dial it down a little bit with WNBA stories. It's like all they report on anymore.
Yeah. When I like I said, I watch a lot of women's sports, but you're talking about the marquee ones. I watch a lot of like archery and like the really low curling and stuff sports that are really
too mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about the mainstream stuff. No, I really agree with you. I want to care about this story. Because the story continues to grow about Caitlin Clark, really, is what it's about. But I just still have never watched it. I read about it, and I go, oh, that's interesting. And no follow-up. Like, it's just like, okay, that happened, and now we're moving on.
I mostly have consumed Caitlin Clark basketball through Twitter and watching highlights and stuff like that. And then the other side of that is poking the bear whenever it's the Caitlin Clark haters out there. It's like, she's not even that good. And I'm like, she's the greatest WNBA player ever. Ever. Mm-hmm. And I just go full in.
I really think we need to make the argument that Caitlin Clark is more important to the WNBA than LeBron James is important to the NBA. And I want to just see a complete meltdown of all sports fans because of that.
But
argument.
I think that's accurate.
It's accurate, 100%.
It is accurate.
Yeah, because I would say that a Michael Jordan didn't exist, then a LeBron James would kind of fill that role. But since a Michael Jordan exists, he brought that league into the prominence it is and continued to help it grow. Didn't divide the fan base. I would say Caitlin Clark brings it all together and probably brings more value when it comes to total percentage of the NBA than LeBron James does to the NBA. Well, let's do it.
I will point this stat out to you. They have not once ever moved an NBA game from a one-size venue to a larger venue to accommodate more tickets being sold because LeBron James is playing in it. But they did do that with Caitlin Clark. She came, I think it was Las Vegas, and they moved it to the big arena in Las Vegas, and they sold all the tickets to it as well.
I'm disappointed because, like, NBA-wise, I pretty much just follow the Washington Generals, and I have been disappointed for years. And I keep thinking
they can't catch a break.
They're going to turn it around this year. They never do.
Always cheating going on in those games. All right, so let's look at this YouTube poll. You know, it's so hard to put money on those games. There's so much cheating that is allowed by the refs.
Yeah.
I've lost so much. They're due.
They are due.
They don't even call traveling on the Harlem Globetrotters anymore. They don't even call traveling. All right, what's the YouTube poll again?
The YouTube poll, which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other?
Which one do you think, Ryan?
To me, is economy, because that's the everyday. Everyone sees this. I mean, illegal immigration, a lot of people don't see that all the time. Personality, a lot of people don't see that every time. The way the economy is, everyone sees that every day. So I have to believe that's going to have the greatest impact.
Yeah, I want to say illegal immigration just because I do believe that she's going to be saddled with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a two-horse race. I don't know the results yet. I haven't seen them. Brad's got them.
Mm-hmm.
Between economy and personality. And between those two, I'm going to choose economy for the same exact reason you just did, Ryan Recker, that it is in your face. You know, you can't afford rent. You're going to think about that every single day. Whereas personality, you're going to see it on YouTube. You're going to see it in socials, but it's not in your face as much as it is your pocketbook.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. It's the economy. It's always been the economy. It will always be the economy. It's the one thing that's constant that hurts every time you go to the grocery store. It hurts every time you try to fill up your truck. It hurts every time it's right in your face. Ryan, you talk about personality. When you look at personality, the thing about personality is people have already made up their mind on Donald Trump. And basically what they're going to go is does his personality put me off enough to suffer and pay more for everything? And I think that answer is going to be no. I think it's really going to be the economy.
All right, let's find out these results.
Okay, so with 185 votes in, the other got 7%, coming in third with personality at 13%, and then your winner is economy at 59% with illegal immigration getting 21%.
I see it. Remember the good old days when you could fill up the tank for about $20-$25? Wasn't that great?
Oh, man.
Man, wasn't that awesome? You know, bacon's like $9 a pound anymore. It's like everything's so expensive. And I don't know about you, but I see the memes where people take pictures of their fridge and they realize that, hey, it's not full like it used to be. Remember when you used to be able to go to the grocery store, spend $100 and fill your fridge with that $100? Now you can spend $150 and only get basically the essentials, the things that you basically need. And you can't really go much above and beyond that with $150. It's terrible. It's actually, that's what is going to impact most people, hopefully, in the decision-making process, and realize things have not been as good as they're trying to tell you they are.
You know, I know it's cliche, but one of the things that they said at the RNC quite a bit, I saw multiple speakers say, drill baby drill, drill mm-hmm. baby drill. And I'm glad that they did, because that does need to be a policy that is implemented day one, because that was implemented day one of the Biden administration. And we've seen what's happened.
Opposite of that, yeah.
It affects so many things. We've gone over this territory before. But the minute you, like you said, Ryan, the minute you reduce the amount that it costs to fill up your truck mm-hmm. or your car, it's not only good for you, it's good for every supply chain.
That's what
it's
I was
good
gonna
for
say.
Everything to have cheaper energy. And it is not that hard to do. Like, it doesn't take Trump to do that. It takes anybody relatively competent to not shut down American drilling day one of your administration to make that happen.
The thing about the drilling and getting the fuel prices down is exactly what you said, Ryan. It's the supply chain. Almost every major good on the shelf of your store is delivered via a truck. And when fuel prices go up, the cost of delivery goes up, and that gets passed on, and that goes passed on to the store, which then passes it on to you, the consumer. So if you can fix that, you can alleviate some of this high inflation.
Yep. So when you talk to a business owner, what are some of the biggest expenses you have? Cost of labor being one, and two, of course, the supplies and the problems of getting your supply is also a big deal. But think about all these different states that have implemented, I guess, higher minimum wages, things like that. And then cost of living increases, and they put extra taxes on to business owners on top of that too. All of those things are contributing to why things are so expensive all the way down the line. And here you are sitting there thinking to yourself, like, did it really have to be this way? People wanted it this way by voting for Joe Biden, because they put their priorities not in your pocketbook, but they put priorities in you know what? We really got to get electric vehicles going. So we're going to punish everyone down the line to try to force the hand for it. That's the type of nonsense that you run into when you vote for Kamala Harris, who's actually even more progressive than Joe Biden, even more progressive than Bernie Sanders, based on her voting record when she was in Senate. Oh, boys, I tell you what, this is fun. I always like it when I get a chance to come in here and fill in for Andy Fry, because you guys are so good together. And you bring an outsider like me to get to come back to St. Louis even for a couple of hours. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And just a reminder that Annie will be back tomorrow. So back to the normal show. It's been a vacation, so she'll be back. And, hey, I wouldn't miss 12 o'clock. She'll be ready to go.
Yep, and don't forget,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no kidding.
You have Joe Biden giving his speech later tonight from the Oval Office. Don't write off the fact that he may say he's being held prisoner. And he was being, I never wrote that.
Yeah.
Somebody help me. Okay. No, that's not going to happen. But man, wouldn't that be the funniest thing ever if he came out and just like denied all the stuff that was coming out about him. I still think there's a chance all of this was pre-recorded anyway. Just play the recording. All right. That's going to be aired live tonight here on 97.1. Mark Reardon coming up in a moment. I'm Ryan Recker filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll talk to you soon. We'll have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race, illegal immigration, economy, personality. We'll get to the results there. Real quick, there's two stories in women's sports that I wanted to mention. I know you guys are really big into women's sports, right? But this is actually kind of interesting. So the Olympics are going on. You have different representations around the world. Well, the New Zealand Olympic Committee accused the Canadian Olympic Committee of using a drone to spy on their practice. It's pretty saucy.
Nice. Yeah. It's like Deflategate.
Yeah, exactly. Except, so in New Zealand, they were practicing on the field. They noticed there was a drone up ahead. They said, hey, what's this? They found the operator. The operator was connected with the Canadian Olympic team. So they're being held because you can't do that. That's a big scandal.
You got to tell the drone guy, stop wearing the Canadian jacket, dude.
Wear the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, wear a North Korean jacket or something.
When reached out for comment, Team Canada said, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. The other story was the WNBA All-Star Game shatters all-time viewer high. I don't care how many articles they put out about the WNBA. I'm still not watching it. I just will never care. Stop with it. They keep putting these out over and over and over again as if, hey, all of a sudden, everyone's going to care. And, you know, that very much could be the case. People actually do enjoy it. I don't get it. It's never going to appeal to me. I'm never going to watch it. I think like we have to maybe like dial it down a little bit with WNBA stories. It's like all they report on anymore.
Yeah. When I like I said, I watch a lot of women's sports, but you're talking about the marquee ones. I watch a lot of like archery and like the really low curling and stuff sports that are really
too mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about the mainstream stuff. No, I really agree with you. I want to care about this story. Because the story continues to grow about Caitlin Clark, really, is what it's about. But I just still have never watched it. I read about it, and I go, oh, that's interesting. And no follow-up. Like, it's just like, okay, that happened, and now we're moving on.
I mostly have consumed Caitlin Clark basketball through Twitter and watching highlights and stuff like that. And then the other side of that is poking the bear whenever it's the Caitlin Clark haters out there. It's like, she's not even that good. And I'm like, she's the greatest WNBA player ever. Ever. Mm-hmm. And I just go full in.
I really think we need to make the argument that Caitlin Clark is more important to the WNBA than LeBron James is important to the NBA. And I want to just see a complete meltdown of all sports fans because of that.
But
argument.
I think that's accurate.
It's accurate, 100%.
It is accurate.
Yeah, because I would say that a Michael Jordan didn't exist, then a LeBron James would kind of fill that role. But since a Michael Jordan exists, he brought that league into the prominence it is and continued to help it grow. Didn't divide the fan base. I would say Caitlin Clark brings it all together and probably brings more value when it comes to total percentage of the NBA than LeBron James does to the NBA. Well, let's do it.
I will point this stat out to you. They have not once ever moved an NBA game from a one-size venue to a larger venue to accommodate more tickets being sold because LeBron James is playing in it. But they did do that with Caitlin Clark. She came, I think it was Las Vegas, and they moved it to the big arena in Las Vegas, and they sold all the tickets to it as well.
I'm disappointed because, like, NBA-wise, I pretty much just follow the Washington Generals, and I have been disappointed for years. And I keep thinking
they can't catch a break.
They're going to turn it around this year. They never do.
Always cheating going on in those games. All right, so let's look at this YouTube poll. You know, it's so hard to put money on those games. There's so much cheating that is allowed by the refs.
Yeah.
I've lost so much. They're due.
They are due.
They don't even call traveling on the Harlem Globetrotters anymore. They don't even call traveling. All right, what's the YouTube poll again?
The YouTube poll, which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other?
Which one do you think, Ryan?
To me, is economy, because that's the everyday. Everyone sees this. I mean, illegal immigration, a lot of people don't see that all the time. Personality, a lot of people don't see that every time. The way the economy is, everyone sees that every day. So I have to believe that's going to have the greatest impact.
Yeah, I want to say illegal immigration just because I do believe that she's going to be saddled with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a two-horse race. I don't know the results yet. I haven't seen them. Brad's got them.
Mm-hmm.
Between economy and personality. And between those two, I'm going to choose economy for the same exact reason you just did, Ryan Recker, that it is in your face. You know, you can't afford rent. You're going to think about that every single day. Whereas personality, you're going to see it on YouTube. You're going to see it in socials, but it's not in your face as much as it is your pocketbook.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. It's the economy. It's always been the economy. It will always be the economy. It's the one thing that's constant that hurts every time you go to the grocery store. It hurts every time you try to fill up your truck. It hurts every time it's right in your face. Ryan, you talk about personality. When you look at personality, the thing about personality is people have already made up their mind on Donald Trump. And basically what they're going to go is does his personality put me off enough to suffer and pay more for everything? And I think that answer is going to be no. I think it's really going to be the economy.
All right, let's find out these results.
Okay, so with 185 votes in, the other got 7%, coming in third with personality at 13%, and then your winner is economy at 59% with illegal immigration getting 21%.
I see it. Remember the good old days when you could fill up the tank for about $20-$25? Wasn't that great?
Oh, man.
Man, wasn't that awesome? You know, bacon's like $9 a pound anymore. It's like everything's so expensive. And I don't know about you, but I see the memes where people take pictures of their fridge and they realize that, hey, it's not full like it used to be. Remember when you used to be able to go to the grocery store, spend $100 and fill your fridge with that $100? Now you can spend $150 and only get basically the essentials, the things that you basically need. And you can't really go much above and beyond that with $150. It's terrible. It's actually, that's what is going to impact most people, hopefully, in the decision-making process, and realize things have not been as good as they're trying to tell you they are.
You know, I know it's cliche, but one of the things that they said at the RNC quite a bit, I saw multiple speakers say, drill, baby, drill. And I'm glad that they did, because that does need to be a policy that is implemented day one, because that was implemented day one of the Biden administration. And we've seen what's happened.
Opposite of that, yeah.
It affects so many things. We've gone over this territory before. But the minute you, like you said, Ryan, the minute you reduce the amount that it costs to fill up your truck mm-hmm. or your car, it's not only good for you, it's good for every supply chain.
That's what
it's
I was
good
gonna
for
say.
Everything to have cheaper energy. And it is not that hard to do. Like, it doesn't take Trump to do that. It takes anybody relatively competent to not shut down American drilling day one of your administration to make that happen.
The thing about the drilling and getting the fuel prices down is exactly what you said, Ryan. It's the supply chain. Almost every major good on the shelf of your store is delivered via a truck. And when fuel prices go up, the cost of delivery goes up, and that gets passed on, and that goes passed on to the store, which then passes it on to you, the consumer. So if you can fix that, you can alleviate some of this high inflation.
Yep. So when you talk to a business owner, what are some of the biggest expenses you have? Cost of labor being one, and two, of course, the supplies and the problems of getting your supply is also a big deal. But think about all these different states that have implemented, I guess, higher minimum wages, things like that. And then cost of living increases, and they put extra taxes on to business owners on top of that too. All of those things are contributing to why things are so expensive all the way down the line. And here you are sitting there thinking to yourself, like, did it really have to be this way? People wanted it this way by voting for Joe Biden, because they put their priorities not in your pocketbook, but they put priorities in you know what? We really got to get electric vehicles going. So we're going to punish everyone down the line to try to force the hand for it. That's the type of nonsense that you run into when you vote for Kamala Harris, who's actually even more progressive than Joe Biden, even more progressive than Bernie Sanders, based on her voting record when she was in Senate. Oh, boys, I tell you what, this is fun. I always like it when I get a chance to come in here and fill in for Andy Fry, because you guys are so good together. And you bring an outsider like me to get to come back to St. Louis even for a couple of hours. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And just a reminder that Annie will be back tomorrow. So back to the normal show. It's been a vacation, so she'll be back. And, hey, I wouldn't miss 12 o'clock. She'll be ready to go.
Yep, and don't forget,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no kidding.
You have Joe Biden giving his speech later tonight from the Oval Office. Don't write off the fact that he may say he's being held prisoner. And he was being, I never wrote that.
Yeah.
Somebody help me. Okay. No, that's not going to happen. But man, wouldn't that be the funniest thing ever if he came out and just like denied all the stuff that was coming out about him. I still think there's a chance all of this was pre-recorded anyway. Just play the recording. All right. That's going to be aired live tonight here on 97.1. Mark Reardon coming up in a moment. I'm Ryan Recker filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.